Our Lord taught his disciples by asking them questions. He asked them a lot of questions, among whom were these. He said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they answered and said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say Jeremiah, and some say one of the prophets." But he said, "Whom do you say?" He left off Son of Man. He asked, what do the people say about the Son of Man? He said, "Whom do you say I am?" That's another question. I am. I am. I am. And Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then our Lord asked this question of the Pharisees. He said, "What think ye of the Christ? What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said, "The son of David." He said, "Well, why is it then that David called him Lord? How can he be David's son, be David's Lord at the same time?" And nobody asked him any more questions. But one day he fed 5,000 people and preached to them, and most of them left. And he turned to those disciples and he said, "Will you also go away with them?" He asked them. Peter said, "To whom shall we go? There's nowhere to go. You have the words of life. And we believe and assure that thou art the Christ." Well, I want you to consider some questions tonight. I wouldn't mind if you jotted them down. I'm going to ask you to consider 5 questions, the last of which is my text for tonight. I'm going to ask you 4, and then I'm going to deal with the 5th one at length. But here are the 4. Number 1, is salvation a gift or is it an offer? I hear people talk about the free offer of the gospel. Well, is it a gift or is it an offer? The scripture says, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself." It's the what? Gift of God. Gift of God. That's what salvation is. It's the gift of God. 1 John 5:11 says, "This is the record. This is the witness. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life. This life in His Son." So the gospel is a free gift. It's a gift of God, not of work. 2nd question. Is salvation by God's choice or is salvation by chance? I hear people say, "Well, everybody ought to have a chance." Salvation is not by chance, it's by grace. It's by choice. Our Lord said, "You've not chosen me. I chose you and ordained you and sent you to bear fruit." Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, according as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He chose us that we should be holy and without blame. He chose us. The next question, the 3rd one. Is salvation by the will of God or is it by the will of man? Is salvation totally, completely by the will of God or is it by the will of man? Well, our Lord said in John 1, "As many as received Him, to them gave He the privilege, the power, the right to be sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, not of natural genealogy, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, born of God. So salvation is not by the will of man, it's by the will of God. But of course, Romans 9 says this, so then, it's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God who shows mercy. Here's the fourth question. Are we saved and regenerated because we believe the gospel? Or do we believe the gospel because we're saved and regenerated? Paul answered that. Acts 13:48 says, when the Gentiles heard Paul, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and as many as were ordained alive, they believed. They were ordained alive. That's why they believed. That's right. We're not ordained alive because we believe. We believe because we're ordained alive. That's just so. Barnard used to say, that's not deep, it's just so. It's just so. Well, here's my fifth question. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want you to listen. Because in verse 15, 1 Corinthians 10:15, I speak as to wise men. And I'm looking over this congregation at a bunch of wise men and women. They've been taught. I speak to wise men and women. And you judge what I say. You consider what I'm saying. Take it to heart. Pay attention. Now listen, here's the question. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Is that what it is? This bread which we break tonight, is it not the communion of the body of Christ Jesus? Now let's start out with the cup. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? This cup. You know the Bible uses the word cup, C-U-P, many, many times. Sometimes real things are meant. Sometimes figurative language is used. But these are great scriptures. I'll just quote them for you. In John 18, verse 10 and 11. Well, let's turn and read that. John 18, verse 10 and 11. John 18, verse 10 and 11. This cup, the cup. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said the Lord Jesus to Peter, put up your sword. Put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup. The cup. Which my Father hath given me. Shall I not drink it? Our Lord refers to this cup here. His cup of suffering. The cup which my Father has given me. Shall I not drink it? And then in Mark chapter 9, I'll just quote this. So the cup, as a cup mentioned, the cup of service, is a cup of suffering which our Lord endured. Then there's the cup of service which all of us partake of. The cup of service. And here's what it says. Whosoever shall give a cup of water to drink to them in my name, because you belong to Christ, you'll never lose your reward. That's the cup of service. That's, you know what I'm talking about. because every one of you here partake of and give out that cup of service. We serve one another. God's people are generous people. They're gracious people. They're good people. They're people that love Christ. That's the cup of service. Our Lord talked about the cup of suffering. That's His cup of suffering. And there's a cup of service that we serve one another. And then there's I hate this one here, the cup of wrath. There is the cup of wrath. It says here in Revelation, those who worship the beast shall drink of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of God's indignation. Cup of suffering. Cup of service. And to those who don't know Christ, it's a cup of wrath. But oh, we're talking about something different here. Look, back to my text. I speak as a wise to the wise men, judge what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless. This cup of blessing which we bless. It's the cup the Lord prepared for us. That's right. In the book of Psalms 23, David said this. He said this. The Lord prepared for me a table, and my cup runneth over. He sets a wonderful table, and our cup just runs over. It's a cup of blessing. Cup of blessing. Cup of blessing, because the Lord gave it to us. A cup of blessing. And then there's a cup of salvation. In Psalm 116, David said, what shall I render to the Lord for all the benefits towards me? I'll tell you. I will take the cup of salvation and I'll call on the name of the Lord. That's our cup. Cup of blessings. Cup of blessings, which God prepared for us. The cup of salvation. And then He said this, this is the new covenant in my blood. This cup, Christ said, is the new testament, the new covenant in my blood. David talked about that. David, in his dying, on his dying bed, last words, he said, although it be not so with my house, God was made with me an everlasting covenant, the cup of covenant, the cup of covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, this is all my salvation, all my desire, although we make it not to grow. So, the cup of blessing, it's the cup the Lord prepared for us, it's the cup of salvation, and it's a new covenant. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Well, let's look a little further. The cup of blessings which we bless. Now this cup of which we'll partake tonight. This cup is not an ordinary cup. It's not just the everyday cup. We bless this cup, first of all, by setting it apart from the other cups. We set it apart. That's right. It's no ordinary cup. It's no common meal. We've already had the common meal. We're going to partake of something richer, greater, more wonderful. We're going to partake of a special cup. It's a special time. It's a special cup. It's no ordinary cup. We bless this cup by setting it apart. Secondly, this cup of blessing, which we bless by setting it apart. Secondly, we bless it by faith. By faith, we believe this cup. We believe this blood. We believe this bread. We believe it. And let none but true believers take that cup. He warns us, don't fiddle with this. It's not a sacrament. This is not an ordinary meal. This is not a church supper. This is not something to make you feel pious and holy. This cup is the cup God gave us to remember His death. You take it by faith. Let none but believers take this cup. It is for those who discern the Lord's body and the Lord's blood. They discern it. They know what they're doing. And thirdly, we bless this cup by prayer. Our Lord took the cup and gave thanks. Our Lord took the bread and gave thanks. We bless it by prayer. And the pastor will, in a moment, take the cup and offer prayer. Take the wine and offer prayer. We bless this cup by setting it apart. We bless this cup by faith. We bless this cup by giving thanks. And we bless this cup by meditation. Not noise. Not whooping. By meditation. Thinking on Christ. Loving Christ. Receiving Christ. All right. Third point. This cup of blessing which we bless. How do we receive this cup? How do we get in on this? How did we get in on this cup of blessing? Well, I'll tell you. The Lord gave it to us. Paul said that. Look at the next chapter. Chapter 11. He said here. In verse 23. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 23. I received of the Lord that which I delivered to you. Yeah, we receive this from the Lord. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." The Lord gave us this cup. When? Before the foundation of the world. This cup was designed by God. Ordered by God, promised by God when Adam fell in the garden. Because He said, "I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between her seed and your seed." That's the promise of the coming Christ. Promise of His blood, promise of His body. Also, when Abraham and Isaac walked up that mountain, and Isaac said to his father, he was a wise young man. He said, "Father," he said, "we're going to worship God. Here's the wood. Here's the fire. Where's the lamb?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide the lamb." He's already provided the lamb. That's right. By promise and by picture, when they took the lamb and slew it and put the blood on the door, that's Christ. And then in person. Oh, listen to this. Look, turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Listen to this. This is the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 22. Let's read, if you will, beginning with verse 15. He said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I'll not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks, said, "Take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God is come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body. God had promised it. God had prophesied it. God had pictured it. And now in person, there He stands. This is my body. This is my body. This is my body. This is my body. He took the bread. He took our flesh. The Son of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. He took our flesh. And then He blessed it. He fulfilled, lived a perfect life. Fulfilled God Almighty's holy law. He blessed this body. And He broke it. He took the bread. He blessed it. And He broke it. It pleased God to bruise Him.
He had to die. The Lord Jesus Christ had to die. I know, I've read a long thing a fellow sent me this week on eternal justification, and I know all these things. I've read all the... You've got to hear the gospel to be saved. You got to hear it and believe it. You got to receive it yourself. You got to, like Charlie preached this morning, there's a will in Bob. I will. Rebecca says, Rebecca, she said, I will go. I will. I will. I will. And you will too, or you'll perish. That's right. And the Lord Jesus Christ, God ordained his death before the foundation of the world, but he had to die. He had to bear all of our guilt and sin and corruption that John... what's your name? Tom talked about it. Our Lord had to take that on him. He had to die. And I'm telling you this, you and I got to die. Got to die to self and pride and arrogance and all, and fall at the feet of Christ and kiss the Son, S-T-B-A. That's right. Personally, you and me. We're going to believe on it. He took the bread. He took our flesh. He blessed it. He lived the perfect life. He broke the bread. It pleased the Lord to brew. And he gave it to him. This is right. And he said, eat it. That's clear. That's the gospel. He gave it to his disciples. And he said, this do in remembrance of me. It's only bread, but it represents his body. It's only wine. This is not a sacrament. This is just what it says. It's in remembrance. It's in remembrance of our Lord. Now then, let's listen to something here. Let's get back to this text. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 16. Now listen to this. Verse 15, I speak as to wise men. Now you consider what I'm saying. You judge. You think about it. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? What does that word communion mean? It's only used in the Bible four times. Twice right here. And twice more in another part of Corinthians. The word communion. All you have to do is get a concordance to look it up. And I did. And it has four words. It has four words. We'll give you three out, maybe the fourth one. It's partnership. Communion in the concordance means partnership. Union. He's the head, we're the body. He's the vine, we're the branch. He's the husband, we're the wife. They're union. They're together. You can't have one without the other. And that's what this communion, this bread is the communion, the partnership of God and his people, of Christ and his people. One. That's what we read in Ephesians this morning, chapter 5. Go, let's look at it. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and listen to this. Ephesians chapter 5. This is the union between Christ and his church in Ephesians 5 verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband's the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Yes. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Partnership. Is not this bread, which we bless, the partnership of Christ and his people? What's the next word? The next word is participation. Participation.
For he was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We participate. Not only are we partnered, we actually participate in his sufferings. He died bearing our sin in his body on the tree. We participate in that. That's right. Of him are you in Christ, who of God is made in us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We have all that in him. We participate in him. He gives it to us. And then John 17:21. Let me read this. John chapter 17. John 17, verse 20. John 17, verse 20. Let's read verse 19. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. We're sanctified in Christ. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I've given them. We have participated. We are partner and we participate. Everything Christ has for us is given to us. And then here's the third word. It's fellowship. This bread which we bless, is it not the fellowship of Christ? Read 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. The fellowship of Christ. John chapter 1 verse 3. That which we've seen and declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we are. Fellowship. Read verse 7. And if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Not just you and me. We are you and me, but Christ in us. We have fellowship with Him. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. All right. Closing. Look at my text again. 1 Corinthians 10. I speak as to wise men. Consider what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, setting it apart by faith, meditating, is it not this the fellowship, the partnership, the participation in the blood of Christ? And this bread which we break, is it not the partnership, participation, benefaction, and fellowship of the body of Christ? It certainly is. It certainly is. It's real. And verse 17. For we, being many. How many? Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. I think we read this morning too. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Listen to this. Revelation 7. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. We being many. Don't talk about with, you know, peanut. People, it's the Lord's people. It's the Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts. Are they? My. I behold a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindred, people, tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. We're many. He said, we're many. But wait a minute now. Verse 17. For we, being many, are one. One bread and one body. We're one. Fellow said to me one time, I said, you and I are not of the same faith, are we? I said, we better be. There's just one faith. There's just one.
He says there's one body, there's one bread, and there's one Spirit in which you're called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. We're many, but we're one. In Christ, we're one. Read on. For we are all partakers of that bread. We're all partakers of that one bread and that one blood and one blood. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. How do you show the Lord's death? Well, we show it to ourselves. When we meditate upon this bread and wine and all these things that the Lord has taught us about our Savior's death and suffering, and we show it to ourselves. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed. I know Christ. We have Christ. We know Christ. We love Christ. Peter looked at the Lord when the Lord said, you love me. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Of course you. Secondly, we show it to ourselves, and we show it before the throne of God. Show it before the throne of God. Before the very throne of God. I beheld in the midst of the throne stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, almighty, seven eyes, all-knowing, seven spirits, omnipresent, and He came and took the book. I saw Him. We confess this to ourselves. We confess this before the throne of God. We confess this to one another. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Exhort one another. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and special words. We show it to one another. And then, everybody get your Bible and turn to Exodus 12. Exodus 12. We being many, one bread, one body, we show the Lord's death till He comes. We show it to ourselves. We show it before the throne of God. We show it before one another. And we want to show it to our children. Our babies are here. Our children are here. Now listen to this. In Exodus 12, verse 24. Exodus 12, verse 24. Here it is. Verse 24. And you shall observe this ordinance, this thing, fun ordinance, to thee and to thy sons forever. And come to pass, when you become to the land which the Lord will give you, according to what He promised, that you'll keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children say to you, what do you mean? What do you mean? What is this communion, participation, partnership, fellowship? What is it? You tell them. Listen. And you'll say, it's the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when He smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshiped Him. I found a little poem. Lord Jesus, engrave it on my heart, that Thou the one thing needful art. I could from all things parted be, never, never, Lord, from Thee. Needful art Thou to make me live. Needful art Thou all grace to give. Needful to guide me when I stray. Needful to save me every day. Needful Thy presence, dearest Lord, true peace and comfort to afford. Needful art Thou to be my stay, through all this life's dark and stormy way. No less in death thou wilt needful be when my soul departs to be with thee. All right. The Lord bless you. Thank you.